Congress has gone for yet another month, but the agenda items don't stop piling up. In fact, they run the gamut from appropriations to the Zika virus. To handicap what to expect, we check in with Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. So yesterday at the baseball game, I sat next to a gentleman who is a senior staff member on Capitol Hill, 35 years. And I couldn't help but look away from the game and say, so how long do you think the continuing resolution is going to be? And he said there's a possibility it could be the entirety of the fiscal year ahead. Was he correct?
It's one of many possibilities, and I think that this relatively quiet month belies the fact that there are a lot of people gaming out all the different scenarios for the continuing resolution. I think that's one of the lesser likely scenarios. It is one that the Republicans, the sort of Tea Party, Freedom Caucus, most conservative, combative Republicans would like, because they feel like that would lock in the current spending level, would not allow for the 3% increase that the Democrats and some centrist Republicans are pushing for. They feel like the longer this goes on, the weaker their hand becomes. So they'll push for that. They'll push for a so-called full year they have in the past. I think what's likelier to happen is a much shorter term one, that the Congress will punt until the start of the lame duck session, which begins a week after the election, and then they'll probably punt again. They will conclude after the election that they really don't, the election results notwithstanding, that hasn't provided any clarity. No matter who wins the presidency and who wins Congress, it's almost assuredly going to be a divided government, or very likely to be a divided government, and they will postpone it until the new year. And let the new president and the reconstituted Congress figure it out.
And we don't call these things, but let's presume, you know, based on all the polls, that it would be Hillary Clinton who is elected. We can't say for certain, right, that her budget priorities will precisely align with those of the Obama administration.
We certainly cannot. I mean, certainly at the edges, they will be, they're inevitably going to be different. I think that either new president, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, would want to make relatively quick work of what would by then be a budget that is 4 months overdue, would want to sort of put the past in the past and settle in for a more fulsome debate on their priorities for their administration. So I think either way, you know, no matter which president it is, the goal would be to do the minimal amount of arguing and just get it over with.
And a more immediate issue right now is this whole Zika funding deal, which seems to really got Congress twisted up in knots. And now the administration is saying, well, no, they've got another point of view on this so-called unspent funding for Zika.
You know, I think that with each passing day, there is some who argue that by the time Congress gets around to appropriating this money, which now won't be until, you know, probably the second week in September, if there is a miraculous agreement on this, the Zika season, or, you know, mosquito season, will be winding down. And some will argue that they've essentially, by delaying it, they've bought themselves some time because the mosquitoes become dormant and then they have until next spring to figure it out. Yes, meanwhile, the administration has its own view about the money that has gone unspent and how they can use existing money. You know, again, I don't, because Congress is in recess and because these conversations are going on mostly by phone out of the earshot of the press and with nobody walking the corridors and being subject to an interview, if there is some sort of back channel negotiating going on, I'm not seeing it.
All right, we're speaking with David Hawkins, senior editor at CQ Roll Call. And another issue that Roll Call is reporting that could come up as a big one when Congress does return, and that is criminal justice overhaul. Now, the president recently gave pardon to 214 prisoners under, I guess, the guidelines that he would like to see enacted by Congress, but he went ahead and did that ahead of time. Largest, I think, effort like that in presidential history. So
that's right.
What is Congress likely to do about this?
I think the president is acting knowing that the odds that there will be an overhaul of the criminal justice system this fall are pretty slim. This looked really promising to be one of the signature accomplishments of the year for Congress. There was sort of a bipartisan support for this in the center, sort of the many libertarian Republicans and socially liberal Democrats united on this notion that too many nonviolent felons were being held for too long, that the prison population was overcrowded. Some on the right saw this as a budget issue, that they were just spending too much of the federal budget incarcerating people. Some on the left just thought this was, you know, it was time to show more mercy and that our drug laws were too strict. But that coalition was not big enough to overcome fears, mainly among Republican leaders, that a bill with the label of sentencing overhaul, or a bill that could be labeled letting more criminals out of jail, would be a real bad idea in an election year. Many people with long memories will remember the so-called Willie Horton ad, an ad that was used just one time way back against Michael Dukakis, how he, when he was the running for president, governor of Massachusetts, had let out a convicted rapist who'd committed a murder, and it was, you know, being soft on crime in an election year is generally not a smart idea. So this is one that I think there's a small chance it could happen in the so-called lame duck, but I doubt it'll happen in the 4 weeks of September after Labor Day and before the start of the new fiscal year when Congress is supposed to disappear again until the election.
Because that one really would have changed a lot of policy for a pretty big swath of the federal government.
Yeah, right. It really would have. There were other aspects to it that got into, at one point it would have changed sort of the whole federal definition of some aspects of criminal law. It would have really given the Justice Department a whole new set of marching orders.
And then there's a final issue that seems to never quite go away, and that is the IRS, the IRS commissioner, and the gambit to impeach John Koskinen over the way he is said to have stonewalled Congress on events that happened before his watch, going back to 2011 and 2012.
That's right. The most conservative confrontational Republicans in the House want this vote on impeaching him. The Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, had tried to block this. The conservatives were able to pull off a little parliamentary maneuver that essentially forces some kind of vote on this, but it could be a vote that is so entangled in parliamentary tape that it would be hard to describe it as a clear-cut vote on impeaching Koskinen or not. But there will be some sort of test vote in September, I think.
Of course, that the whole effort doesn't exactly engender desire on the part of would-be future IRS commissioners to come on board and try to help out.
No, it doesn't. It also would, I think, indicate that while Mr. Koskinen's term, he unlike many executive branch officials, does not serve at the pleasure of the president. It's a fixed 5-year term. His term technically lasts through the first year of the next president's administration. I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Koskinen, especially if it's I don't know. But many of these commissioners have left early, and maybe he wants to make his point that he has outlasted his Republican critics, and then he might consider leaving early.
David Hawkings is senior editor at CQ Roll Call. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.
You can share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.